This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for making yourself at home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Good morning, Taranaki. Welcome to Making Yourself at Home at Radio 104.4 FM, Access Radio, your voice, your choice. We're here with myself, Brian, from the United States, Clara, from Spain, and our special guest, Rebecca, from Sweden.
Good morning, everyone. How are
Good
you, Rebecca?
Morning.
Good, thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. So I am going to introduce Rebecca, and then we will get into knowing you better. Rebecca was born and raised in Sweden, and she arrived in Auckland in 2011 when she was 19 with a student visa, and she never intended to stay long, but well, life changes, and now New Zealand has become home. She met her husband here in 2013 and then moved to New Plymouth in 2017. Her background is in hospitality, especially baking and desserts. She has been working in one of the cafes here in New Plymouth for long, and she now works as a Pilates instructor at Physio Pilates here in New Plymouth. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Something that I always like to start early with on the show is that our guests are all from other countries and they're adventurous. And I was wondering if there's anything you can recall from your growing up and development that got you interested in travel and exploring foreign countries.
Good question. I was always interested in languages when I was younger. Like, I've always loved learning, and you know, all throughout school I always picked up extra classes where I could, and English, I guess, was quite a easy option. Like, you have to learn English in school in Sweden, and just really wanted to travel, and practice that, I think, was the main reason for leaving in the first place, I would say.
And why New Zealand? What made you decide? where that like spark of like going to the other side of the world, if we are from Europe, came from?
It wasn't like a clear decision to begin with. I wanted to study. Well, I finished high school and I didn't have a path as such. I had a couple of options. I really loved the baking. I really loved food and all that. I was really passionate about that creative side of things. And then I also wanted to become a physio, so I had like two different paths that I was working on. To become a physio, I had to study a little bit longer, so I thought, maybe not just yet, I want to do something different. And I went to one of those, you know, like a student expo, university sort of thing, and it was a lot of study abroad people there, and I talked to a few different people, and a lady helped me figure out where I could go to study pastry. And so I had a few options. America actually was one option, Spain, France, Australia, and then New Zealand, which turned out to be the cheapest option, but also, you know, where people speak English, which would be a little bit easier for me.
So when you came with a student visa, you were studying pastry here?
Yeah, up in Auckland, yeah. Just a bit random, but really cool, yeah. And that was, I started, was going to do 1 year, and I really loved it, and signed up for the second year as well.
Cool.
Do that, yeah.
So how long did you spend in Auckland?
I was there. I graduated in 2012, and then I really loved it, got a job. And then I was sort of on my way home, got a job in a place I didn't really enjoy. I'm not going to say the name. But at that same time, sort of on my way out, I met my husband at a party, and then I got a new job at the same time, and my mom sort of pushed me to stay, and she said, you know, don't leave on bad terms with New Zealand, like, you know, stick it out a bit longer, see if you can return to loving it. And I did, and stayed.
Cool.
Said enough. She might regret that now, but I don't know.
Sounds like nice motherly advice.
Yes, yeah, she's great.
Yeah, and then you made your way to Taranaki, how?
So we lived in Auckland for a bit, moved back to Sweden in 2014 and lived both in Sweden and in Scotland for a little bit. Mm. And then my husband's Swedish visa ran out, so he moved back. And then I stayed back in Sweden for another 5 months, maybe 4 or 5 months. And then came back here, and we lived in Auckland for probably another 2 years before we decided it was a bit too much for us with all the traffic and, yeah, work and work-life balance is not the same as here. So we actually moved down. We just came to visit some friends and fell in love and stayed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. Cool. So,
yeah.
What do you like about New Plymouth?
That's probably it, you know, like the balance of life. You know, you can work, but, you know, as soon as you step out, it's just beautiful. There's nature. There's so much to do. And, yeah, a lot of nice people. Easy to make friends. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, yeah. Have you been able to make your own tribe here? And are there many Sweden people here? Swedish people?
No, there's not that many. I know a
few. I don't know anyone else. That's why I'm asking.
I have met a couple. I have a really good friend. She's actually not... She's kind of Swedish. Her mom's from Finland. Her dad's from Scotland, but she's born in Sweden. So she's very passionate about Swedish culture and, you know, speaking Swedish. So we've really become close friends. But, yeah, she's probably the only one that I spend time with. Mm. Yeah.
What makes up Swedish culture?
I think I've thought about it more and more being here, you know, and meeting other people from different cultures. And at first I thought Sweden didn't have a lot of culture. But then the more you think about it, the more I realize that we do. Mm. And we do love like a good celebration around Christmas. We have a holiday that we call Midsummer, which is, middle of the summer, which sort of celebrates the summer solstice and, the day and night and,
How do you celebrate the summer solstice?
That's my favorite holiday, actually. way prefer it to Christmas. But, yeah, we get together. It's usually a big family celebration, lots of friends around, and you... dress up in your nicest summer dress. You always wear like a flower crown that you've made from flowers that you picked. Big dinner, barbecue, and then we make... It's called a maypole, so it's sort of like a big pole dressed with flowers as well, and there's a lot of dancing and singing, and
wonderful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. It's a really beautiful holiday, yeah.
Mm. And do you do something for the winter solstice or not as much?
No, so that's sort of, it's combined with Christmas, I guess, in that sense. Yeah, and there a lot of more like Christian holidays, I guess, leading up to Christmas, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And what sort of elements of Swedish culture have you held on to and celebrate here?
Not so much. I actually thought about this because I listened to a few other guests talking about their culture. And I think actually when I first came, I don't know if it was because I wanted to fit in or because I didn't want to miss home so much. So I sort of let go of those things for a while. And I think since I had kids, it's coming back more and more that I find it important for them to be a part of the Swedish culture. So I'm trying to hold on to that. Christmas, a lot of, you know, holidays around that. We celebrate Easter quite a lot as well. And, and Midsummer for sure. Mm. So, yeah. But it's, we're not huge on celebrations as such, but those three, I'd say, yeah.
Are there any food elements that you've held on to and still serve up, or is it a strictly pastry kind of?
We love talking about food from different countries here, so we always ask this to our guests.
I get it, there is a lot of traditional food, not that I've held on to myself, but we do eat a lot of sort of preserved foods, because in Sweden back in the day there was not a lot of food growing, especially winter time. You know, it was very cold, and so you would have to save everything from summer and use it in winter time. So a lot of like pickled fish, like cured meats and things like that, that would end up in winter time.
The one of the major industries in Sweden is forestry.
Yeah, it is.
Anything else really that drives the economy there?
We got a lot of mining as well. Okay. So forestry and mining, which is more like a lot of iron ore, I think they, and copper, I think, as well. Hmm. IKEA. Kind
of primary industries. Yeah.
No, but yeah, I think that's probably about it. Yeah.
Cool.
I don't know. Yeah.
And so when you arrived in Taranaki, you were still pastry making?
Yes, I was, yeah.
Okay. And then you shifted over into becoming a Pilates instructor, kind of revisiting that dream of being a physio, being involved with that kind of work. Can you talk about that transition? What inspired that? What allowed you to make that move?
Yes, like you said, I've always been interested, and my whole life growing up, I've, you know, been really close to sports and, physical activity. And then I, you know, swayed off a little bit from that. But then, coming back, I think when I had my first daughter, I think I've realized I got that time to just be for a little bit on maternity leave. And I realized that this is probably what I was doing was not really working for me, with the hours and the kind of the stress of being in a kitchen all day. And so then I actually got the opportunity to train with the lady that I work for at Physio Pilates New Plymouth, Emma. Mm-hmm. And so she sort of took me in and taught me everything that I needed to know. And we did some online training. This was just after COVID, so a lot of courses were sort of put on hold, but a lot of online training. So we did that. And then she sort of really believed in me and let me, grow, you know, that's within beautiful. Her business. Yeah, it's really beautiful.
I know Emma too, so it's beautiful to hear like how you started at the business.
Yeah, I feel really lucky to have that opportunity to try it out,
And there's different types of Pilates, ones with reformers, which is kind of like a sliding bed with ropes, like a.
Yeah.
And the others more kind of a fitness class, like.
Yeah, so there's one that you usually do on the mat, just on the floor.
Okay.
And we have the reformers where I work, yeah.
So, and it seems to be more of a female-dominated activity?
Yes, I would say it is. We have a few men coming through.
Okay.
In our studio particularly, it's more because it's connected to a physiotherapy clinic, so it's more about recovery. We have a lot of people recovering from surgery and things like that come through.
Mm.
But yeah, and then there's also studios that do more for fitness. But you know, we do have some men come through once in a while, yeah.
Cool.
Some find it a little bit slow. It's more like probably a bit more similar to yoga in that sense, like a lot of breathing and slow movement. And
Yeah, I'd be really interested to hear more about what a Pilates workout entails, why it's beneficial, and what the exercises are like. So if you could.
Yes. I'd love to talk about that. So it's very gentle. Most of the time you're pretty much lying down on your back, and then the machine sort of creates the resistance for you. So it's very good for older people as well. You know, I think my oldest lady that I've got is about 80 years old. Still, you know, capable of doing everything. Yeah, it's incredible.
Nice.
Yeah, really cool. There's so many different things you can do. You can fit in a lot of stretching as well, and you've got different springs to sort of build up the tension, so you can even if you're really strong, you can still get a really good workout, or if you're completely new, you can get the same sort of benefit from it. So it's really versatile sort of machine. But,
I recommend it. I like reformer pilates.
Yeah, you've tried it?
I think it's really good if you like surfing, for example. Yeah, because when you are like standing on the platform, you have to engage your core a little bit. Similar to when you have to pop up when you're surfing.
Yeah, true. Yeah, and it's great because you can do whatever you like. There's so many different ways of doing it. Like, you can really push it to the very limits, you know, really challenge yourself, or, you know, tone it down.
Yeah.
How often do you do Pilates?
Once a week. Okay. It depends how I balance with the other things that I like doing. But, I try to do it once a week,
And Rebecca, do you mostly work in the class environment, or do you work in the more rehab physio?
No, I'm more in the class.
Okay.
Class environment, and then I look after booking everyone in and making sure everyone's here on time and things like that. Yeah.
Nice.
Cool. That's great. Yeah, it's a perfect job.
How many people make up a class?
So we only have 5 reformers in our class, just to make sure that we can keep an eye on everyone and make sure that everyone gets looked after well.
Yeah, that feels good, I guess. I can't imagine being in a reformer class where there's like 20 people or so, because, then the teacher cannot look at you.
And then, I mean, it depends on the participants as well. You know, if someone's been many times, you know, they can handle most of it themselves. But, it's good to be able to keep an eye on everyone. That's
awesome.
Nice. Yeah.
And once you arrive to New Zealand, was there anything that was shocking for you, or anything that surprised and it took a while to adjust?
Because I was still so young when I came, I think, like, I I actually didn't really enjoy it the first week. I think I really struggled. I didn't know anyone. I was really lucky to stay with a Swedish girl. She was slightly older than me, so she had a house with her partner at the time. And they took me in, so I was very lucky to stay with someone that could sort of point me in the direction of the supermarket and, you know, how to catch the bus and things like that. But yeah, I really struggled the first week until university started. And then I actually met a group of really, really lovely people there and then sort of took off from there. But other than that, like culture-wise, I don't think I struggled with anything, but I found people very super friendly, extra friendly compared to Swedish people. Like we're very personal, private in Sweden. Like we don't really talk to people we don't know. We don't really talk to anyone on the street. You don't say hi. Definitely don't say hi to anyone outside. So that was really a nice, you know, surprise for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, other than that, I think it's quite similar the way people live here. You know, the same sort of, I don't know, environment. And yeah, I guess the weather is a lot nicer than Sweden. It gets very cold, very dark. Mm. Yeah, sort of just carries on, sort of quite mild compared to what I'm used to. Yeah.
So what are some of your favorite activities around town?
I love going to the beach. Yeah. That was also something I didn't really used to do back home. Like we are surrounded by ocean, but you don't swim in the ocean. It's too cold. So when I grew up, we only, you know, went to the lakes and pool and things like that. So there's something I've learned to like, to swim in the ocean. Love going to the bush, going for a bush walk, being, you know, surrounded by trees. That's something that makes me feel calm and makes me feel like home. Yeah, and then, you know, seeing all my friends, probably, yeah. That's mostly what I do, yeah.
Have you had any visitors from Sweden come?
Yes, yeah, many times. Yeah, I've had a few.
Oh, you're very lucky.
Yes, I'm very lucky. I've had a few of my friends over the years, mainly when I was younger, you know, when everyone was still, you know, traveling a lot and didn't have kids or anything like that. I've had a few friends come over. My parents come maybe once a year. Oh, nice. Or we go over there, try and take turns. So they were just here over Christmas, actually, my mum and dad and my sister.
And all nice, my family was here as well.
Yeah.
During Christmas.
That was great.
What are your visitors' reactions to New Zealand and New Plymouth?
I think they all love it. It's so beautiful. And I think from Europe, a lot of people have heard of New Zealand as being this really beautiful, magical place. And I think they actually really think it is. And yeah, for my family, my parents and my sister, they feel like it's almost like a second home now, I think.
Wow.
And yeah.
Oh,
they
wow.
really enjoy. Well, there have been so many. My sister got stuck here with us over COVID, so she was here for 6 months just living with us, which is really nice as well.
So she has a nice experience.
Yeah.
And how often do you go home?
I try and go. I'm hoping to go every year, but more probably every second year. Yeah. It gets a bit expensive.
Well, if they also come here, yeah. Ideally, I would like to stay with my family or spend time with them once a year, which normally has meant me going back there.
Yeah.
But this year they came for Christmas, which was really nice. So I imagine if your family is coming more or less often, it's not always you the one that has to travel.
No. Back there. But it is good to go back there to see my grandparents and my cousins and old friends from school. It's really nice.
Is there anything that you request your family to bring you from Sweden? And is there anything that your family takes back with them from New Zealand that they can't get there?
Yeah, I like chocolate from Sweden. There's something special about that. Mm. I don't know. We're not like Swiss chocolate, you know, it's just a special brand that everyone eats that's quite nice. There are a few things that I do enjoy eating there, but there's mostly like dairy products and things like that you can't really travel with.
True.
Yeah, so I try and eat that when I'm there. My parents, they buy chocolate from here for some reason. They like that. And my mom, she just loves buying like shampoos and little soaps and stuff like that. Like nothing special, but something that reminds her of New Zealand, I think, when she goes home. Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it is really nice. Yeah. And every time we go, you know, she keeps it in a little special place. That's her little memory of us. Yeah.
So it sounds like you've made yourself quite comfortable here in New Plymouth. What do you think you did to really find your tribe and and make yourself feel at home here?
Yeah, I thought about that a little bit as well. Like in the beginning, I think because I was in a group of people where everyone came from somewhere else, like all the students that I spent time with, we were all in the same sort of situation. We had no family, so everyone sort of hang on to each other like that. But then once those friends sort of dispersed, you know, everyone went back or carried on traveling or studying, I think I found it quite hard, actually. I think in my mind, I always thought that I was going to go back to Sweden. And for some reason, I never really allowed myself to sort of immerse myself in the culture here and like finding friends. And I didn't realize that until just like, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. And I realized, oh my gosh, I'm actually holding myself back here. Like I'm not being open. I'm not going to all these events or places where you can meet people. And since I realized that, I'm trying to get out more, you know, like if someone asks me for a coffee, I will go out and just really trying to join groups and places and things like that.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense when you don't feel or that you're going to stay in a place. You have that mindset until you feel like, oh, this is home.
Yeah.
And then, you open up suddenly.
Yeah, and I think maybe it was a bit like, why should I put all this effort in making friends when I'm leaving soon? Mm-hmm. But I wasn't never going to leave, so I don't know why, yeah.
Yeah, I've kind of recently come to the settling on staying in New Plymouth, I think. Pretty darn sure that that's going to be the case. While I've been very much wavering for the past at least year and a half or so on that topic. So, it does change kind of the outlook and the effort and the investment in planting roots and really accepting the idea of staying in place instead of moving. That said, I feel like I've really tried to integrate into the culture and the activities of the communities to enjoy, because you know there's so much fun stuff to do and great people to hang out with. But yeah, that decision to kind of make home in a place really does change the attitude. Where are you with that, Claire?
I am resonating with you both, because and it's something I have talked with my friends and my partner, that is, nothing has changed like externally. It's something like inside you, like your mindset changed when you realize, well, this is home now. You don't know what is going to happen in the future because no one knows. But that mindset change changes everything around you. And it's really interesting to observe that, because it's not like a tangible thing that you see that has changed. It's something that is within you. I feel New Plymouth is home for me now. At the same time, I want to go to Spain every year and spend time with my family, or then coming here. But for now, New Plymouth is home.
I think our listeners, if anybody listens to every episode, might know about my draw towards El Salvador. And I've really kind of kept that or put that idea to the side right now in terms of moving there. And I started talking to people about that decision process. And from, I think, my first time being interviewed on the show, I talked about doing dream analysis. And a few days after really discussing the idea with my friends about, I think I'm making myself in New Plymouth, I had this really strange dream. And very, very obscure. And I did my dream analysis with AI, and it was like, your subconscious has certainly decided that you know what you're doing now, and you're making yourself home in New Plymouth. It was really bizarre. It was a really, really, it's one of those weird dream things where it's like the dream, the symbol in the dream seems very obscure, but at the same time, it's just so applicable. And interprets what's happening in real life. Pretty wild, yeah. Mm. That was a fun little
dream to work with. So New Plymouth is home. New Plymouth is home for the three of us.
Yeah. Looking that way.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have that, come to that decision. You know, yes, you feel like, yes, okay, I can carry on now.
Yeah. And of course, things can change in the future because, that doesn't matter. Like if Sweden was home for you, or if Spain was home for me, or El Salvador, that can also change. But it's nice to feel that, like, for me, it's nice that you are not in that dilemma of, like, is this home, is this not home? I am moving, I am staying. So just, like, coming to a peace of mind with that.
Yeah.
And were you able to, have you been able to travel around New Zealand during the years that you have been living here?
Yeah, I mean, more so in the beginning when I first came. Spent all my money, all my savings, and traveled around with my friends. I had the first year I was here, my cousin came with his friends from Sweden. We're the same age, so we got a van together and traveled around for a month or two, I think, down south. So we made it down to Queenstown and then all the way back up. And then I did the same sort of trip with my parents 1 year later. So I've seen quite a bit like that. And then I traveled quite a bit with my husband just before we had the girls. So we've been up north. He's got his family up north. And then, traveled around. Yeah, quite
what,
a bit, yeah.
What is a highlight, like, apart from New Plymouth?
Yeah.
What will be like... Yeah, if someone was visiting, or if like a new friend from you came that haven't been here before, where will you take them?
Good question. Apart from New Plymouth, I do think you should visit Auckland, you know, as a tourist, definitely. We had family down in Nelson. We spent quite a bit of time there. They don't live there anymore, but I think that was a really, really beautiful place, I have to say. And, you know, any sort of area around there, Abel Tasman and that area. I think Queenstown is a place you need to visit too, just for the, you know, how beautiful it is, and Wanaka and, you know, everything around there. But, yeah, but New Plymouth is probably on my top, you know, place that you need to visit when you come to New Zealand. That's a place that people miss, I feel. You know, if you come as a tourist and you travel around, there's not many people who come here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think I feel there's a good side for that in terms of living here.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Meaning that it's not as... when I was traveling with my family this Christmas, some of the places we visited were super, super crowded. Mm. And now living here, I am not used to that anymore. I was used to that when I was living in Madrid. So I was shocked because I was like, where is all these people coming from?
Yeah.
Perhaps keep it a secret is also nice.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. It's fascinating to hear that you'd seen a lot of New Zealand and still settled in New Plymouth. So I guess it's the number of people, the busyness, that's what you find endearing here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. And, like, the space for everyone. Like, when we lived in Auckland, I just felt like there was just so many people, you're always in traffic. It was hard. And, even finding somewhere to live, it was a struggle, you know, always. And being here, it feels a lot easier. But, yeah, this space, to be. It's really nice. I love it. Yeah.
I guess because we are at the beginning of the year, and I am remembering the episode that we did, just the three of us, Alina, you and me. We were talking about intentions for the new year. I don't know if you have done that reflection or what are you hoping this year is holding for you?
Oh, okay. I have thought about this. I have a little list of things I'd like to accomplish or work towards this year. So I'm going to say I've kind of started a little bit of a journey. Yeah, like I said, really interested in, like, you know, how the body works and how we look after ourselves. And so I've done a little bit of training in massage. And when I carry on with that, hopefully I could do either something where I work right now or maybe something on my own and start my own little business going with that. And then yesterday I listened to a podcast that I've been listening to for a while, a lady talking about hormones and how hormones affect our body and all of that. And I've done a little bit of study in nutrition and health as such. And I think that really sparked that sort of thinking again, and that I would like to do a little bit more, dive into that a little bit deeper. And see if I could use that and help other people to, you know, live a better life, be happier, and be a little bit healthier. Mm. Yeah.
Have you looked into myofascial release?
Yes, stuff? I have done a bit of training in that as well.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm just trying to put it all together somehow. And yeah.
So a mate of mine does myofascial release, and I just got my partner a session with him yesterday, and she said that was the best massage she's had. So yeah. Shout out to Dan.
Yeah.
Maybe share your link in the show notes so people know where to go for that.
Yeah,
it seems like a really beneficial body work thing to do. Do you want to describe what myofascial release is?
So it's sort of, the body is, you've got your skin on the outside, but underneath your skin, there's a layer called the fascia, and it's sort of a tissue that encapsulates all your muscles and all your organs. So it's around everything on the outside, but it's also within the muscles itself, holding, separate the different parts of your muscles, and holding the organs in place. And it should be quite fluid and really smooth, but if it's not, if you lack hydration or things like that, it can get sort of caught and a little bit stuck, and that sort of restricts your movement. It doesn't seem like it would, but it holds everything quite stuck. And so releasing that just allows the body to move the way it should and, get a bit more, more movement into the body. They're releasing the muscles.
Mm.
Holding on. So it's sort of, it's not a, you're not pushing into the muscles as such. You're just going sort of on the layer on top, and then you can go in between the muscles and work on that fascia in between as well. Mm. Yeah.
How would someone feel after that type of massage?
You should feel quite a release. Yeah, definitely, yeah. It would help, to feel really, and maybe lengthened out a little bit,
Are they all, is it typically like a dry rub?
Don't need any oil. No, right. No, you want to have that grip.
Mm.
So you sort of, because it sits right under your skin, so you sort of want to have a nice grip to sort of like push it out. Yeah, it's a bit of, it's different, but definitely really, worth a try if you haven't tried it.
I'm a fan of the deep tissue massage myself. Yeah. I like that, the feeling of pain, to feel like it's something's going on. Yeah. But the myofascial release, I was really shocked by how relaxed and kind of smoothed out I felt after the session.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really impressed.
Yeah. And I mean, you can combine it too. It doesn't have to be either or,
Right.
Definitely.
Yeah, there can be a time for everything, no? Perhaps sometimes you will need a deep tissue and sometimes you will need a facial.
Yeah. Treat yourself.
Yes.
It's true that there's listening to what you have been sharing with us, there's a theme on the things that you like working on with health and well-being and helping other people to feel better.
Yes, I feel like it always comes down to that in the end. Yeah.
Even when we were doing pastry.
The pastry chef part.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can have also like healthy pastry. I can imagine more.
Oh,
less.
Yeah, you can. Yes.
As healthy as possible.
Yeah.
Treat yourself to a pastry.
Yeah.
Time's wrapping up here pretty soon. Something that we always ask our guests is if you had a friend moving to either New Zealand or even New Plymouth or anywhere else in the world that they would be, they'd be a foreigner, an expat. What advice would you give them to making themselves in a new home?
I think it would be not making that mistake that I made. Like, actually, even if you only stay for a year, pretend that you're going to be there forever and, like, try and see everything, be a part of everything. And maybe, like, talk to people that you don't think that you, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, sometimes you set your mind to a certain type of people that you think you're going to be friends with. But, like, try someone else. Try... go outside your comfort zone, meet someone else. Especially people from other countries, I think you learn a lot from. Mm. They have a different background than you. And I feel I've learned so much meeting all these people along my years here. Mm. And I've grown a lot as a person. So it's been really interesting.
New Zealand certainly has that great diversity of people from all over the world to kind of mix your palate up with.
We are very lucky to have that. Yeah, that you were saying, Brian. And the thing what you mentioned of imagine that you are gonna stay forever and permanently. That will be like a huge tip for someone that is coming new to a new place.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you for joining us. Thank you everyone for listening, Brian.
Yeah.
Your really nice and interesting questions as usual. And see you next week, next Monday here at Making Yourself at Home on Access Radio 104.4. Your voice, your choice. Mm. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Rebecca, for being our special guest. And thank you to all of our listeners. Show notes and links will be coming out on our social media pages. Take care, Taranaki. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.